Lord, for that moment of grace in our lives. God was pleased to speak to us. Amen. Well, thank you, ladies. Tremendous. You can be turning this morning to the prophet Ezekiel. Prophecy of Ezekiel, chapter 37. You find your place there in reverence to the Word of God. I'd ask you to stand with me. Begin reading there in verse 1 of that chapter. Prophet Ezekiel. In verse 1 it says this, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. Behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. When I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Father, we bow before you, and Lord, this passage of Scripture is mysterious. It raises great anticipation, maybe even excitement in our hearts. And I pray, Lord, that you would open before us the truth of what you're saying here through your prophet Ezekiel. Pray that each one of us would hear from you. Lord, I don't know what the needs are across this auditorium this morning. But Lord, I'm thankful that you do. I'm praying that you're breath might blow here. By your Holy Spirit, you'd be pleased to deal with every heart exactly where it is. For us as believers, that we would all the more trust you, believe that you are a God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. And for those that are here, Lord, that need your Son, need Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, I'm asking you in his name that you might be pleased to reveal him in all his glory and his grace and in his mercy, as we heard from the ladies a moment ago, Lord. Please draw them savingly, eternally and gloriously to yourself. And Lord, we will. We'll be quick and ready to give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Of course, you may be seated. Well, it's an interesting passage of Scripture. Over the years, it has received its It's a good deal of attention, I guess. Different ones, of course, have preached and taught. It is sometimes misunderstood, and as well, it is sometimes misinterpreted. The background, the timing in the background is at the time that the nation of Israel has been plundered. Jerusalem has been laid in ruins. Much of the population have been taken into captivity or killed. As a nation, Israel was as dead as this vision of dry bones that Ezekiel saw from the Lord. Be mindful that though Israel was dead as a nation politically, they were also dead spiritually. Spiritually a mess. But our Bible tells us that before God allowed the wicked nations of Assyria and Babylon to plunder Israel, he had sent prophet after prophet to warn them a time and time again, to warn them from their spiritual adultery, to turn back to God, to turn back to the Lord, to the Lord Jehovah. And yet, repeatedly, they ignored the call of God upon them, and God is pleased here to judge them. As Ezekiel receives this vision, Israel has no more spiritual life than this valley of dry bones described here. And the prophecy is God's promise, though, in spite of this. This prophecy that God is pleased to give Ezekiel is his promise to restore Israel. To restore them. It is his word. Do we hear that? When God gives his word, he will keep it. It is word that he would one day regather Israel and breathe life into them. Wow. Now, we do not want to confuse the local church of the New Testament with Israel of the Old Testament. We could go on and explain that in a great detail. Israel of the Old Testament still has an earthly hope, this earthly hope that one day God is going to gather them together, that God is going to restore them. And we'll look at that more as we go along. But the New Testament believer, you and I, this church, beloved, we have a heavenly hope. Because one day the trump is going to sound. And then we which are alive and remain shall, we're going to join those that have gone on before us in the clouds. And as Paul tells the Thessalonian church, so shall we ever be with the Lord. We have a heavenly hope. So we don't confuse Israel with New Testament Christianity. But with that said, I believe there is some spiritual applications that we can learn from what God says to Israel here and what was going on in Israel. A word to us, beloved, a word to us, Old or New Testament. When God's people sin and refuse to listen to him, he will deal with them. He will deal with them. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, he says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. He scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. He goes on in that passage to warn, if you do not receive chastening in your life, you might question whether you're a legitimately born child of God. Wow. Because why? God does chasten those he loves. God will do. That word chasten means to correct. And God will do a corrective work in his children's lives with a purpose of bringing them back into that right relationship with him. And that right relationship with him. Why again does God do that? Because as the Bible teaches, He chastens. He corrects those that he loves. Those that he loves. Yes. Wow. He will. He will take us to the woodshed if he needs to. Some are foolish enough to believe that God won't do that. Being hard-headed as I am, God had to teach me some hard lessons by experience over the years. I'd gotten a place many, many years ago long before God called me into the ministry, before he called me to preach and to become a pastor. I got to the place where I thought maybe I wanted to run the show in my life. I started getting lax in my church attendance. I started finding excuses not to be in church on Wednesday night or maybe Sunday nights. If I wanted to do something on Sunday, maybe I wanted to go to the ball game or something, I'd just skip church altogether. I know none of you would ever do that. I started thinking that, that's a lot of money to be given to the church. I wasn't reading my Bible, and of course, by that time, prayer. Prayer wasn't an issue anymore. God chastened me, beloved. Listen to me. You know, I've been told over the years or even of late that maybe I tell too many stories. I don't know your story to tell it. But I pray that my experience in this, that you'd learn from it and avoid the pitfalls I fell into. God chastened me through my own family. One of our daughters got into some trouble, and she was hanging around with a crowd that wasn't helping her out either. She's listening to the world's music, which was stealing anything good from her. Bottom line, God scared me right. My family was at stake. God scared me right with one of my own children. And as they headed my home, I had let down the spiritual priorities of the Word of God, the things of God, local church. The honest truth is I had given place to the devil in my own home. Fortunately, God was merciful to me. God was merciful to our family and restored us. God got hold of Jim Turner. But hallelujah, he also got hold of our daughter. And now she's served the Lord for over 30 years.
Amen.
Since that time. As a pastor, beloved, knowing what I know from experience, as a pastor, it frightens me when I see folk that I care about and that I love straying from the things of God in their lives. And I see them repeating those mistakes that I made. I'm fearful for them. Fearful for them. Why? Because I fear what God may have to do to get them back right with Him. Whom the Lord loveth, He what? He will correct. Don't ever get the idea that God won't touch you for your sake. Don't ever get the idea that God won't bring chastening into your life, maybe even through someone you love. I know from experience, beloved. And I fear for those who would stray. But back to our passage. God is in the midst of doing a corrective work in the nation of Israel in this passage, or at the time of this passage. As we mentioned, that northern nation of Israel proper had been taken into captivity by the Assyrians due to their sin. Judah the southern nation, the southern kingdom, is in the process of being plundered and Jerusalem destroyed. The temple being literally laid flat. Daniel, we know of Daniel and his friends. Daniel and his friends and the prophet Ezekiel, who was a few years older than Daniel at the time, were taken as captives to Babylon. Ezekiel is essentially a captive when he gives this prophecy. And Ezekiel is one of God's prophetic preachers at this time, at that time. Verse 1 tells us that God's hand was upon him. He recognized that God's hand was upon him. And God took him in the spirit to this dark scene, this valley that we read of here. Wow. To a valley which was full of bones. Wow. Well, I want us to see a few things here. That's quite a ministry God gave him. It's a devastating ministry that God is pleased to give Ezekiel. Let me read that again. In verse 2, it says, "And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. And again, he said unto me, Prophesy, preach unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." It's quite a ministry, isn't it? God has given Ezekiel a promising ministry. He sets him in the middle of this valley of dry bones. In verse 2, it tells us there's a lot of them, many of them, and they were not just dry, very dry, emphasizing their terrible condition. Wow. Obviously, how would you describe this? It's to say the least, a lifeless gathering, a lifeless assembly that Ezekiel was to preach to. As a preacher, how would you like to be faced with this task, guys? Go preach to this bunch of dry bones. Well, God questions Ezekiel. He asks the preacher a question. He says, again, God asking Ezekiel, can these bones live? Humanly speaking, what was the answer? No way. No way. These bones have no hope of life. No. There's no possibility here. Bunch of dried up old bones. Dry as dust indeed. Church, could we ask ourselves a similar question about the spiritual condition of our land? I'll add to that the spiritual condition of many churches. And I love churches. When we assess the current state of Christianity in our country, it's disheartening to me. In these days, some have said, "I quit watching the news, Pastor." Well, I don't blame you. But I don't think running out here and digging a hole and sticking our head in it is going to keep things from happening that are happening. Not going, hiding from it, ignoring it, isn't going to change anything. In fact, just the opposite. We need voices that are proclaiming the truth. When we evaluate the lack of respect for human life, when we consider the onslaught to cram alternative lifestyles down our throats, when we see the nightly reports of murder in our streets, dear ones, nearly half of babies that aren't murdered are born outside of marriage. Yeah. when we see that both, now listen to this, when we see that both legal and illegal narcotics and drug abuse is rampant, we should ask the question, can anything be turned around? Can things be turned around? Is it even possible to see God breathe afresh in America? Can there be life? Can there be revival?
Amen.
Can there be a fresh moving of the Holy Spirit of God in these days, beloved? Is it too late for revival in America? Well, Ezekiel answers God right. Ezekiel's great answer to God. Was it too late for these bones in this valley? Ezekiel gives the only correct answer. O Lord God, thou. Only God held the answer for those bones. Only God can determine when it is too late for revival, even for us. Take note of what God wants Ezekiel to do. Take note here of what God wants Ezekiel to do in this valley of dry bones. And what's he do? He commands the prophet to preach. God commands to the prophet. He says, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. What? What are you asking me to do, Lord? What is this? You want me to preach to this valley of bones? Wow. But I want to say this. There's been many a preacher felt the same way in standing in front of his congregations. Huh? Feels like he's preaching to a congregation of dry bones. He preaches. He preaches. He lays out his heart, and there doesn't seem to be any sign of life. But every God-called preacher must remember a very, very important truth. His job is to obey God.
Amen.
His job is to do what? Preach the word. God's place to do the rest. It's the Holy Spirit of God's place to enter in and do the rest. When the preacher or any believer attempts to do God's work in the strength of the flesh, he has more than he can do.
Amen.
He has more than he is able to do to try to step in by the strength of his flesh and accomplish what God and God alone can do.
Amen.
Oh, I have shuddered when I have actually literally heard in a preacher or an evangelist say, if I can get him to cry and I can get him to laugh, I can get him in the altar. That's ugly. That's heresy. That's trying to step into the place of God. My job is to preach the word of God. Allow him to do his work. And I try to take any of that out of his hand, and it's all flesh and ugly. It's ugly.
Amen.
And it happens far too often in our day. Oh, yes. Oh, my. What an amazing message. An amazing message. Verse 5 says this, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones. Here's what his message was. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. I will lay sinews upon you and bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin. Put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. That was his message. Whoo! The message that God had Ezekiel preach, this valley of bones, that he was going to cause breath to enter him. Huh? And that they would live. That they would live. Through Ezekiel, God tells these dry bones that he's going to cover them with the sinews, the flesh, and skin. Huh? It appeared hopeless for Israel. It appeared hopeless. The nation was in ruins. The people were scattered to the winds. How could there be any hope for Israel? But we see the preacher is obedient. The obedient messenger he preached. He so I prophesied. As I was commanded. Notice it says, and as I prophesied. See, when God's on the scene, things happen.
That's right.
And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above. But there was no breath. There was no breath in them. Ezekiel preached just as he was told to do. And sure enough, these old dry bones began to rattle, shake. Vision or not, well, that's something. Huh? The old foot bone, this is very scientific. Some medical terminology here. The foot bone began to shake and rattle. It got hooked up with the ankle bone. And along the way, as the ankle bone started shaking and rattling, it got hooked up with the leg bone. And on. And then the ligaments and the tendons, they started coming up over those bones. The flesh formed over those bones. And the skin covered it all. But there was still a problem. There was still a problem. There was no life. There was no breath of life in those bodies. Can I make an application? Thank you. Many times we gather together, everything looks great. One huge problem. No evidence of the breath of God. The Holy Spirit's absent. And I know us independent Baptists aren't supposed to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit like this. But beloved, dear ones, we're here in vain if the Holy Spirit of God isn't present. If he's not here and in charge, we might as well get in the car and go to the house. It's pointless. It's nothing but show. But we see this powerful, powerful work going on here. And then we also see this powerful moving. let's read verse 9. It says, then said he unto me, again, God instructing Ezekiel, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Wow. First, Ezekiel preaches to dry bones, and now God's instructing him to preach to the wind. To prophesy unto the wind. Come, is the message, from the four winds. Oh, breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. Again, Ezekiel obeyed. He obeyed. And as the breath came into them, it says they lived. stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. What was God's question of Ezekiel? Can these live? Can these bones live? O Lord, thou knowest.
That's right.
Ezekiel's answer. Indeed. Now listen to this. This vision was given to Ezekiel about 2,600 years ago. Now be mindful. Israel, 600 B.C. Give or take a few years there, not exactly. Northern nation had been taken into captivity, as we said earlier, some years early, before, 100 years before Judah. Judah taken into captivity to Babylon. Around 586 to 600 B.C. For a brief time in the intertestament period, there was a semblance, but not true sovereignty of a country, a nation in that land. Since 600 B.C., Israel has not existed until 1948. Huh? We could go into all the history of that, but in 1948, Israel once again became a nation, albeit a political state, political entity. The dry burnt bones of a dispersed and persecuted people were brought together. Throughout those 2,500 years, the Jews have been one of the most persecuted people on this earth planet. People talk about persecution. Study the history of the Jews. I don't know as anybody that suffered more than the Jews over these last 2,500 years. The coverings. Now listen to this. Picturing that prophecy. The coverings of government and society were brought upon that gathered people. But spiritually, even until now, they still need the breath of God to breathe upon them, to breathe in them. They are yet without their Messiah. They do not know Jesus as their Christ, the anointed one of God, their king. But if we have seen, if we have witnessed God fulfill the first part of this prophecy, should we not expect that he will indeed complete that prophecy? That the day will come when he, by his Spirit, will breathe on the Jews and they'll see Jesus as their Savior, as indeed their Messiah. Beloved, we don't have time to go there, but the book verifies that. The day will come, as Paul writes to the Romans, where they will believe. They will receive Jesus as their Messiah. And God will be pleased to take that natural olive branch that was taken away in you and I, the unnatural branch, Gentiles, grafted in to the vine, Jesus Christ. But when God breathes afresh on the nation of Israel, on the people of Israel, he's going to regraft them into his vine, Jesus Christ. Huh? And they will be restored. They will be revived. Well, what about us? What about 2020, right here in these United States of America? And beloved, in these days, I want to include the world. There have been times that God has been pleased to breathe upon his work, not just in one locale or this place or that place, but to breathe on his work and see it jump oceans. Reach people far and wide. There's been times of amazing revival in Europe and these United States. Times in which you would think there was no hope. No, it's too bad. It's too bad. Evil's taken over. And yet God has been pleased to enter in and breathe afresh and work again. What about us? What about us? Is there hope for a revival in America? Can there be a revival of God's work today? What's the answer? O Lord, thou knowest. Lord, thou knowest. I'll leave that with God.
Amen.
But the fact is, the only hope. You can say, "Well, I don't know if I agree with you, preacher." You don't have to. But I believe the only hope for America is a spiritual revival.
That's right.
We will not change America by the arm of the flesh.
That's right. Yeah.
We can't make people do anything.
That's right.
We can't make people, force people to have a new heart. That's a work of God.
Amen.
It's a work of God. God's instruction to this preacher, to every preacher, is what? Preach the word. Preach the word. His instruction to this church is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's our task. I know you probably get weary of me saying that, but we need to hear it till we start acting upon it.
Amen.
It's the gospel that we're responsible for. I still believe, beloved, I still believe in the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. To change lives, to save sinners. And we need to keep going and preaching. Preaching the Word of God. I don't know. You may be in this auditorium this morning and you're not a member here. I don't know you, and you know little about me. But I ask the question, do you have life? Do you have life? You say, well, yes, I have life. I'm alive. Well, you're here. And you are indeed a living person. But do you have the life that Jesus Christ gives? Do you have Jesus Christ? Have you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, and along with that, your Lord? All those years ago, I knew I was saved, and yet I was in such rebellion against God. Who's in control? Have you been saved? Are you born again? Do you know the forgiveness of God? For your sin. I'm not asking you if you've walked an aisle. I'm not asking you if you've prayed a prayer or signed a decision card. That's all just the admin. I'm asking you, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Better question. Does Jesus Christ know you as his child? Are you saved? See, there's no hope of life if you're not saved. Spiritual life. Revivals for the saved. Revivals about the restoration of life. Salvation's about receiving life. It begins with Jesus.
Amen.
Let's stand together, beloved. I know I've been preaching a lot along these lines, but in these days, but that's what God's been laying on my heart. If we're not going to be a light in this world, where's this world going to get its light? Father, we bow before you, and I'm asking you in Jesus' name, your Son's name. And I'm asking you, Lord, I'm not asking these before me. I'm asking you to work in hearts and lives. I do pray that we would be surrendered. We would be yielded to what you might want to say to us and do in us. But, oh God, I beg you in Jesus' name, please, please work in your people in these days. Lord, I pray that you'd start right here behind this pulpit with this preacher. Stir us, oh God. Ignite us with a fire for Christ, for his work. Oh God, I pray that you'd be pleased to revive us even in these days. Lord, as you did for those dry bones, as you are doing for the nation of Israel, do for your New Testament people too. Do for churches across this land. Oh God, I pray, I'm asking you in Jesus' name to be pleased to bless right here once again. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for souls that have been saved. We thank you for those that followed you in obedience and baptism. Thank you, Lord, obviously, for adding to this church. Grateful for all that, Lord. We don't want to minimize that. But, oh God, help us not to be satisfied with gleanings when you would give a harvest. Lord, please use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Brother John.
I need thee every hour.
Amen.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee.
there.
Amen. Amen. If nothing else, folks, we go from this place with a burden. I warn you, my message this evening is also on revival, our need of revival, with this question: why does revival elude us? We'll explore that a little bit. Why does a revival elude us? We need God. We're too easily satisfied with the things of the flesh. We think feeling good is a move of God. Not always. When God moves, we will. Many times feel terrible because we're confronted with our sin. But as we deal with that, oh my, things get great. We need God. Please pray. Please pray for this evening. Please pray for our church. Please pray for the spiritual condition of our land. When the spiritual condition of our land is right, everything else will be right. Amen.
Amen.
Brother John, come.
Let's be dismissed with our chorus for God's love.
For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son to die on Calvary's tree, from sin to set me free. Someday He's coming back. What glory that will be!